So, what do you think is different on 37 Channels compared to all the other albums that you guys have put out? This is your fourth studio album, so how's it different?
It's actually my sixth studio album. But my fifth one that's being released, because I actually recorded one in between two and three that was on Maverick, but then Maverick shut down, and then they wanted like somewhere, it's like somewhere sitting like with like the Indiana Jones arc, somewhere, and like I've been trying to find it, but every time there's always some monkey trying to poison me with a prune. That's an Indiana Jones reference.
Yes, I got it.
Did you get that one?
Yes, I got it.
Oh, sometimes. But it's actually my fifth release, and I'll tell you really what's different is I normally like write the music, then get the lineup, and then like kind of polish the music. And I basically did this completely opposite. I wrote the whole thing, played all the instruments. I wrote 120 songs over a course of close to 3 years. And then after I was done, I dwindled down those songs to 19, which I recorded. And out of those 19, I had to dwindle those down to 13. And then, and basically, in the 3 years that I wrote it, it was just like, I went through happy times and like super miserable times. So like there's like a shift in gears musically. And then on top of it, I have like pretty much all of my buddies playing on it too. From Shooter Jennings to like Kenny Olson to a couple of guys from Three Doors Down and stuff. So it's really good. I'm not really proud of it. It's my proudest baby. Yes.
So, was it a difficult process to get all of those guys together, or they were just like, oh, no, let's do this?
Surprisingly not. It was so funny. You would think it would be, and the fact that it came together, I think I just would just call them and be like, and they're like all like loaded and super famous, on their own, right? And I'd just be like, I just find out what they liked, and I would just be like, I have like Line and Kugels, and they are so, I would just call them, and I'd just be like, that Sugar I've known for a long time, like probably like 13, 14 years, if not longer, and he's just cool as shit, And I'm like, what's up, Sugar? And I use him for Mosquito, because it was so appropriate, it was kind of got more of a Southern Rock, Southern Rock vibe than any of the other songs. Actually, the only one that really has that vibe. And I'm like, man, I need to get a freaking badass kind of country guy here. And, I call him up, and I'm like, man, listen, man, I want you to come and sing, like, on this track, And so he's on tour. He's, like, in Vancouver and shit. So I sent him the track, right? And he ended up doing it better than... He ended up doing it better than I actually expected, because at first my initial idea was like, hey man, we're going to do like two versions, right? We're going to do one version where you sing the second verse and I sing the first verse, Or you're just singing the secondary part of the hook that was ended up being sung by Tubi, who is one of the kids that actually helped me write that hook. He's a hip hop artist I produced, but he's like really talented, super. And anyways, somewhere along the lines, he just sends me like harmonies to the whole thing, like 17 part harmonies. And like, he was so like, just like lit to the whole thing. And, here I am in my studio trying to put this shit together and make sense, But it was really an incredible experience. And then the guy, Austin Winkler, he just flew down and stayed with me, and I think that in a week, me and him, we did some damage. And of course, Greg Upchurch, he plays for Three Doors Down. We were recording in Three Doors Down studio, we're in Chris Henderson's studio down there at Nashville, because I was going to shoot myself, so I had to be in my studio any longer. And so he was just down the street, and he would just show up, and he was so everything, and
and Kenny Olsen. I've known him for 22 years from like Kid Rock and stuff. And we both got signed together. We both used to jam in the same places together. I mean, I introduced him to his wife and stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's how close we are. And he's actually like a mainstay in the new lineup. I mean, he's just an incredible player. And he was in Nashville, and I'm like, oh, just come on over. And then Kevin McCreary, who's a top player for Uncle Cracker, who's also a Detroit boy, who I'm a Detroit boy too. So it's like, you know, he came down, he did all the rhythms. And then, like, the Saving Able Cats got, he happened to know this girl that I was hanging out with down there. And one day, you know, I called this chick, and I'm like, hey, what are you doing? She's like, oh, Scott, you know, just came over here, you know, and I'm like, Scott from Saving Able, and I was like, well, get his ass over here to the studio. So he ended up playing on that. But I played, you know, on every, I played, you know, bass on everything, and played guitar on mostly everything, and, you know, so I just had, like, these guys kind of fortify everything, you know?
Absolutely.
And it ended up being really awesome. I mean, it's got, like, a good, like, not studio vibe, because I've been jamming with these guys for 20 years, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that dates me, but, you know, I try not to get old, but, you know, I've been playing with them since I was, like, 12, 13, 14 years old, you know, so. That's how pretty much is different.
Nice.
Next question.
Yeah. So speaking of Mosquito, how is that song written? What was the inspiration behind it?
It was just, I've always been a really generous guy, right? And, like, that song, the name came from the bridge, but it's just, there's so many people that just talk shit, you know, up there, you know, and they're just hating dickheads, you know? It's like, they want you to do well, you know, they shake your hand with one hand, and then the other hand, they're just, like, jinxing you, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just, like, a proponent of somebody who's, like, you know, if you don't like me or don't like music, why go out of your way to, like, go on a fan site that's made for fans? It's called a fan site, you know? And just be like, you're this, that, and the other. I mean, this is, like, you know, people are still pissed off at shit that I did, like, 2 decades ago. They're like, do you remember in 8th grade? Well, you didn't put the Sienna Red crayon, you know? I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you guys? So it's kind of like a tongue-in-cheek comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bridge is, like, there's this line, it's like, you're a bottom feeder, blood-sucking skater.
Mm-hmm.
And since I live in Kentucky, everybody's got that really southern swang.
Yes.
They're like, yeah, you know, I know I've been bottom feeders and blood-sucking and skaters, the meaner than a sack of rattlesnakes. It's kind of, it's really my first really endeavor at something kind of, well, I've written tongue-in-cheek stuff, but it's really funny. And when you see the video, you're going to shit your pants. It's like,
can't wait.
Just picture this. It's going to be me, Shooter Jennings, Kenny Olsen with Kid Rock, you know, and all of these freaking morons, you know, Lake Garrett and everybody, like, in a video together. And it's going to have, like, a, like, Southern rock fucking theme. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. Just let your mind just fill in the blank. And it's going to be funny as shit and wrong.
So how did Leif Garrett all come about? How did you get in contact with him?
Well, I've known Leif for about 3 years. And my manager actually manages with Leif. And basically, I've never really known him as, like, Leif Garrett. I've never known his music before. I always just knew him as the rocker that he is. Because he's a rocker, you know what I'm saying? People don't know this, but, like, you know, he's played with Dave Navarro. And, you know, this guy's got a cool voice. He's a cool, you know, he was a teen idol, yeah, of course. But, you know, life goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I just think it was cool and random to have him on there.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy sold like 200 billion trillion records, you know? I mean, he was huge, dude. And, you know, he's like, one day he told me, like, you know, I'm hearing all these stories of him, like, back in the 70s, you know? Mm-hmm. And, like, he, like, gave Michael Jackson his award for Moonwalker. I mean, the guy has, like, accomplished more than all of the rest of the members in this band. And musicians that guest starred put together. I mean, the guy is no joke. So he had written this song making fun of pop idols, you know, and it's called My Turn, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I want to sing on that one. I'm like, fuck yeah, you're going to sing on this one. So, and that's how it came about. And he just knocked it out of the park and he made it his own too. And it's like, he did an unbelievable job. And it's like, I have absolutely no regrets. He's such a great guy.
It's like
super talented, dude.
It's like you were talking before about how, you know, people remembered Leif for, you know, what he had done in the 70s.
Yeah, they need to forget that because Leif Part 2 is out and he's kind of a badass. I'm just saying. Like, you might not want to, like, screw with this Leif because he's got, like, a voice like mine, maybe not as exaggerated as the last few, but his pitch is good. He's a rock and music connoisseur. I mean, Zeppelin, you know, this guy's like a huge Zeppelin fan. He's just a bad motherfucker. I'm going to tell you right now. Like, I know people don't think of him like that, but you got him fucked up because he's a bad motherfucker. I'm serious. So, the Leif's out there reading this article or whatever. I don't know if this is a written article or a podcast or whatever, but, you know. But if he said that Hugo has quoted, Leif is a bad mofo, shut your mouth.
So what I was going to say...
Yeah.
It's all good. What I was going to say is a lot of people still remember Tantric as, you know, the breakdown.
Yeah.
That song was huge for you guys.
I have like nine top... Oh, sorry.
Bless you.
Then we had like 10... like top 10 active rock singles, you know, or mm-hmm. 9 or something like that. You know, we had Down and Out, we had Astounded. And then it's so funny because people come to our shows and they're like, oh, they sing this song. 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 You know, so it's like we've always, you know, like I'm like, dude, I've been doing shit since the first single. But, obviously the first single is what everybody always remembers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The first big single. See, that's what I want to do, man. I just want people to buy the fucking record, you know, enjoy it. Hopefully it blows up, and then I'll put a freaking waterfall on your house. Great. Now, I'm not really doing this for some pussy or anything. I genuinely love music. I put a lot of years into it. There's a lot of heart into this, and that's really it. I am like the most antithesis of like a rock star in its sense, you know. At this point, I'm just like, I like making shit that I'm proud of, that, you know, that I'll be proud of in 10 years, that I'll be proud of in 20 years, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, all I want to do is be able to make another record, you know? I'm already thinking about the next record, you know? God knows I have enough music that I wrote to just make a box set. But, you know, it's really, to me, it's a whole different thing. So it's really important that you encourage or threaten your listeners or readers to buy the goddamn thing, because it's only going to come out. It's going to come out for $10 on at Best Buy, and I think if you go online, you pre-order it, you get like a T-shirt and a CD for like $20 or $25.
Nice.
I mean, you can't beat that with a baseball bat. That's a cup of beers. You can't go to the movies and spend $50. That always gets you with a damn fuck one.
It's true.
Bastards. I'm like, I took a call to the movie. I was like, what the fuck? Am I buying rights to this thing? Like, she's like, I'll have the jujubes. I'm like, bitch, are you eating way too much right now? You what are you eating?
Oh, man. So let's have a little bit. Let's have a little bit more fun. If we weren't having enough fun as it is, you said the album comes.
Always have fun.
You gotta. So the album's coming out in Best Buy. So let's give you a hypothetical day of the album release. You got somebody they're looking at the album. You kind of spot them, and you can kind of sneak up on them and pitch them the album and say, like, "All right, you got to buy this." What do you think you would say to them?
I would just whip bought my 50 Cal Dutch Vigo. I'm like, you buy this fucking record right now. Don't you even look at that Justin Bieber record. Would that work?
Yeah, that works.
It's like physical violence. No, I would just be like, listen, man, here's a guy who's been doing this for, you know, my first record came out in 2001. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And here's a guy who's put a lot of music, a lot of work into this. And it's a record that everybody can like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this isn't, like, so heavy that your parents don't think it's the Devil's music. And it's not so light that the Devil's music people are going to think that it's, like, you know, Tony Braxton. You know? Why I say Tony Braxton, I don't know. It was the first thing that popped into my head. But it's just a good record. I'm telling you, it's like you know when your girlfriend takes you out to the movies and you don't think you're gonna like the movie, it's just you just go to a blind movie and it ends up being like a really great movie. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If you've never heard of us, that's the type of record it is. It's like if you just go and buy the record blind, You're going to be glad at the end. You're like, holy shit, that was a good freaking movie. You know, this is a good freaking record. And there's no fillers. I mean, I wrote 120 damn freaking songs for it. So, I mean, I'm pretty positive I filtered out anything that was shitty. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I think I'm doing good. And then, you know, with your magical writing skills, maybe you can just, like, you know, add in your little colorful things in there, and you know, like I said, maybe I'll get you a waterfall in the house.